Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, we have another installment of our segment, Investing Shorts, and I'm so excited to introduce and welcome back Dylan Marma to the show. Dylan, welcome back.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Glad to be back.
Absolutely. So, everyone, you should definitely go back and listen to Dylan's first show, but if you haven't listened to it yet, he is a multifamily operator, mobile home park operator, and an RV campground operator, and has a lot of experience running these alternative asset classes. So today, Dylan, will you please talk about income and expenses when it comes to mobile home parks and RV parks? Like, how does income and expenses differ when you look at those two categories, mobile home parks and RV campgrounds?
Yeah, I'm really excited to share on this topic because I think on our last show, we touched a lot of just high level what made both of those exciting investments for us. But I spend most of my day in the weeds, you know, looking at Excel sheets, going through these things day in and day out. And over time, I feel like I'm start to see patterns. And I hope I can share some of that with the audience. And first off, I want to start by saying that there is a tremendous difference between a mobile home park or manufactured housing community and an RV campground or an RV resort, right? The biggest difference being the length and the reason that people are there, the length of residency and the reason that people are there. In a manufactured housing community, generally speaking, people are there. The average stay of what we call a tenant-owned home, or we'd like to say resident-owned home, is usually 15 to 20 years, right? They bought this home, they're locked in, they're going to stay there for a very, very long period of time. And it's an amazing form of affordable housing. And it's an amazing investment because they're going to do all the repairs and maintenance and the capital expenditures for the home itself. You just have to maintain the lands and the roads. And looking at an RV resort or an RV campground, I'm mostly going to be focusing on just the campgrounds, kind of the middle of the road. Generally speaking, these are built and used primarily for recreational purposes. And this, there is such a wide variety of different types of RV campgrounds out there. You can have a long-term one, which are one of our favorite models are the long-term. There can be on the ocean or a lakefront, and they're used like a lake house or a little ocean house, right? And people will keep one there. They'll pay the entire year upfront, one big payment, and they'll be there year after year. And it's, you know, used like a place where they go on the weekends to have, you know, a nice getaway spot. Or you can have on the opposite end of the spectrum, a transient RV campground where people are going in for one or, you know, two nights at a time. And it's, you know, just a pass by interstate campground where it's a lot of turnover, a lot of in and out, but it can be very, very high cash flow because of the nightly rates. So again, as you can see, there's a big difference between the two. And there's also a big difference between the operating expenses between the two. The biggest similarity, though, the tax benefits are very similar. Both of them have extremely attractive tax advantages, and you're just renting out land, right? You're in the business of land leases, which is a great business to be in because there's only so much upkeep from land itself. So starting off, I want to discuss the manufactured housing communities and the main sources of income and expenses. Then we'll jump on to the RV campgrounds. On a manufactured housing community, your main source of income is clearly your rental income, right? Or your what we call your lot rent, generally speaking, right? That is an amount that is usually everyone is paying the same amount of lot rent once the community is fully stabilized. And maybe once a year you send out a rental increase notice and the lot rents around the entire community will go up. And it's very stable. Usually collections rates, you might have a collections loss of say 2%. You know, usually once you're fully stabilized, your occupancy is over 95%. And then in addition to lot rent, you may have things like you may charge pet fees, you may charge you may bill back for utilities and just very similar, you know, other income streams to that, which you'll see in, say, an apartment. You'll have a move-in fee. I know it's a big one for us, different things along those lines that you can use to create additional revenue. But there's only so much room to get really creative on the income side. It's, you know, it's sort of the basic fees that you'll have along with the lot rent. On the expense side, you have, we're going to go through all the main expenses. The taxes, again, taxes I'm not going to spend too much time on, but those will go up usually when you purchase the property. And then every time the taxes get reassessed, that varies widely by the county. And usually you want to call the county tax assessor to find out more. Payroll itself can be very, very low if you look on a per unit basis for these communities. We try to buy larger communities that can afford full-time staff. But once you're all resident owned, there's only so much ongoing upkeep. So you can really contract a lot out a lot of the work and have just a community manager on site that is managing the collections, that is managing any leasing that might be going on or selling of the homes, things along those lines. If you have a park-owned home community, which we have a lot of, your payroll can be much, much higher. That's a story for another day, but generally you separate the expenses and the income of a park-owned home community of the park-owned stuff versus the tenant-owned stuff. But we're speaking, just to keep it simple, tenant-owned home community, the simplest model, just because it's easier to compare. Management fee, I mean, that's really up to you and what it takes to, but generally speaking, we see 6% as the management fee. I think 5 or 6% is very common. And that's to cover all of the accounting, that's to cover all of the regional management. There's a lot, I think people think that's all profit, but very, very, very little of that, if any, is actually profit. It, you know, as you scale management's, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes there. You have your general administrative. Your general administrative, your G&A is pretty much your, this is your travel cost, number one. If you're an out-of-state investor, you're probably going to be flying in and booking, you know, hotels and planes, and hopefully you're not putting too many fancy dinners on there. But, you know, it's the basic, we just charge the basic travel costs, and then we will charge legal, you know, if we have LLC renewals, that will go on there. Usually your tax returns will go on there. Usually the management covers a lot of your accounting, but the actual tax returns at the end of the year goes on G&A. And then your software costs, right? If you use a property management system, if you're managing in-house, things along those lines, that usually is falling under G&A as well. Contract services are made up of, usually this is two things, pest control and landscaping, lawn mowing. But usually if it's all resident owned homes, again, you don't really have much pest control anymore. So it's usually just the cost of mowing the lawn. If you're lucky, you get a manager that you hire that can also mow the lawn and get, you know, some cost savings there. But you might have landscaping. If you're in a higher end community, we usually recommend you mowing the lawn, not expecting all of your residents to mow their own lawns. Mm-hmm. Marketing is minimal. Marketing really depends on what your, the status of your community. If it's a heavy value add, you might be spending some money boosting Facebook, you know, Facebook posts to sell off homes and things like that. But once you're stabilized, your marketing should be maybe a few hundred dollars a year. Maybe you do some resident events that fall under marketing as well, or you buy, you know, your employees t-shirts and things along those lines. But marketing is minimal. Insurance varies widely. If you own the homes, which again, we own a lot right now, that insurance can be very, very expensive. But generally speaking, once you've sold off your homes, your insurance is minimal. I want to say 60, I'm going to give a wide range, $60 to $100 a lot. And then if you're in a flood zone, higher, but that varies a lot depending on where you're located. You want a basic GL policy. And then usually we try to get business interruption insurance to meet lender requirements. But it's usually not a huge expense once they're resident owned. Although I will say that is a big risk because you don't own the home. So if a storm comes in and you don't own the home, then you have to make sure your residents have insurance on their homes to hedge against that. And lastly, repairs and maintenance. I think that that might fall. I'm going to give another broad range here because prices are changing and it varies, but say like $150 to $250. Dollars per lot per year in repairs and maintenance. And that's going towards upkeep on the roads. That's going towards any upkeep on the signage, the office space, maybe the breaker boxes or the utilities. There's a number of things there. And then last is the utilities. Utilities just, you know, you either have private utilities or public utilities. And, you know, if you're paying for the upkeep of your septic tank, or if you have a treatment plant, that usually falls under the utilities bucket. And then if it's, you know, public utilities, if it's getting billed directly to you, you know, you can usually bill that back over time, but utilities will vary depending on what the utility structure is. So that's what I have on the MHC side. Should I jump into the RV or?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, awesome. So on the RV side, you have your income streams are, you're able to get much more creative there and create a lot of additional income streams, right? Because a lot of times folks are coming out here with the idea of this being a, you know, recreational experience somewhere that they want to spend the whole weekend with their family. And you can think about different ways that you can offer additional services to them. You know, you can sell food. You can have a campground store where you sell food. You can sell all kinds of RV parts and supplies. You can rent out golf carts. That's a very common one because they don't want to drive around their camper all day, or maybe they didn't bring an extra car. So having a golf cart is really convenient to be able to cruise around, especially if you're in a larger campground. You can sell, you know, firewood. I think I mentioned ice. You can have, sometimes they'll charge, there'll be arcades on site. Sometimes there can be resort fees. Sometimes resorts included if there's a pool and a water slide or something along those lines. There's a lot of additional income streams you can create. And then, of course, the core of your income will be from your actual site rent, which will be coming in usually monthly, or it could be dailies or weeklies, just depending on, the makeup and the resident base that you're attracting. Generally speaking, a lot of that does come through credit cards, and you usually have minimal delinquency if this is, you know, because usually people are paying in advance. Usually they'll pay ahead of schedule before they even, you know, set foot on your site. They're paying when they're booking months in advance. Mm-hmm. And you usually also can charge site lock fees. So because generally, like, the software that you're going to use will play Tetris and kind of try to maximize your occupancy at all times. So you don't want them to choose where they're going to be. But if they want to really want the spot that's right in front of the lake that has the, you know, tiki hut next to it, or whatever it might be, then, you know, they can pay $50 or so to book for that specific weekend because it's so meaningful to them to be at that, in that spot, right? So that's another income stream you can have. So that's a lot of your income. But again, income on the space, on the short term, especially when you go to short term, you're probably 40 to 60% higher than if you were all long term RV campground. So income goes higher, but so do your expenses. Expense ratio on an MHC without going,
that 40-60%, that's including the vacancies that you would have.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
That's including the vacancies. Yeah, I'm saying if you are all long-term RV campground, usually people get a little bit of a discount and your expense ratio might be, say, somewhere, it's hard to quote because it varies so much, but let's say like it could be as low as 40%, you know, maybe slightly lower if it was really long-term. But on a short term, your expense ratio is significantly higher, and we'll get into why, but your income is also significantly higher, but it's also a much more operations, you know, intensive, hands-on business.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, on, you know, manufactured housing community, you're usually looking at somewhere like a 35 to 45% expense ratio. Obviously, I know it's a wide range, and that can be similar if you have a real true long-term campground where there's not a ton of staff and it's a pretty, you know, low key, low maintenance place. But then when you go up to the higher end campgrounds, you're usually pushing 50%. And I've seen plenty that are over 50% on the expense ratio. And the big difference maker is your marketing and your payroll, right? So your taxes are going to be measured the same way, generally speaking, right? Based on your purchase price. The payroll here, again, is going to depend on, I know in our last show, we talked about having usually a full-time staff. You have your full-time campground host. You might have a full-time maintenance person. And you might have a number of what we called work campers, who are folks that will, you know, work for you to get free site rent, or, you know, for the month, or, you know, an hourly rate. So you're spreading out a lot of the labor there, and you might have people cleaning your cabins and things like that if you have a lot of alternative accommodation. So payroll can definitely be significantly higher. I kind of look at this more similar to like a multifamily on a per unit basis, maybe a little bit higher than that even, because it's more it's almost like more crossing into hospitality as you get more short term.
Totally.
Then your management fee, generally we charge 6%. That's pretty standard. I think that's actually in the lower end. recommend on in the RV campground world because it is more management intensive. General administrative, same thing there. Again, it's your travel costs, it's your legal expenses, your accounting, making up a lot of the G&A. Contract services, very similar there. It's primarily your landscaping. I think it depends on the quality of your campground that you're targeting, but you should see the landscaping bill in some of these places. I mean, that's what makes it, right? Because you're renting out big pieces of land. So you see them getting really, really detail oriented and having great landscaping, and that goes a very long way. So that might be higher because you're trying to keep it tip-top shape to create the experience. Marketing, again, becomes much more expensive. Well, it's I guess expensive is not the best word because it's an investment, but it's an area you definitely should want to invest quite a bit more into.
Yeah.
I don't want to quote a specific percentage of revenue, but I think, usually our marketing bill is well over $10,000. Usually we're doing feasibility studies on larger communities, it'd be over $20,000. And we're doing feasibility studies to kind of see how much marketing, how much ad spend we need to do in this market to be competitive. Because you actually have, on better, more attractive markets, you might actually spend more money in, because it's more competitive. There's more, product competing with you doing online marketing. Then the insurance. Insurance doesn't differ that much from traditional manufactured housing. It's actually fairly similar on a per lot basis, but you need to go to niche providers, right? You go to a standard insurance broker, they're going to probably come back with some crazy quote for you. We found this out the hard way. When you start going niche and digging in, you can find providers that specialize in this and you can get some really attractive quotes. So insurance, generally speaking, is not too much of an issue, but again, it depends if you're in a flood zone or something along those lines. One thing you got to think about, which I like, is that if your risk of storms goes away a lot when you have an RV campground versus a manufactured housing community, because you can just tell everyone, hey, there's a hurricane coming, let's go inland for the next 3 days and then you can come back and we're going to open back up, right? So that I do like in terms of insurance. And I think that's why it kind of helps keep the insurance costs relatively low. And you have repairs and maintenance. Repairs and maintenance, this will be higher than, a general like a MHC or even like a long-term campground. When you do short-term, you have, you're going to have fire pits. You're going to have all sorts of amenities that people are going to be, just getting a lot of use of, because for the time they're there, they're going to be fully there and they're going to be dirtying up their camp spots. And some people are going to leave it a mess. So you definitely want to have a little bit of a higher repairs maintenance because you're just getting more turnover, but having people leave every week or so. Then utilities, this is going to vary quite a bit, but RVs, they generally do use a lot of electrics. Your electric bill is very high. One thing we're looking into is getting tax credits to fund solar panels on our RV campgrounds that will offset the electricity bill completely and be more environmentally friendly. So we're very excited about that. But for the time being, electric bills are usually very high. If they're staying longer than a month, you usually bill them back. You bill back for electric, you bill back for water, sewer, because you want them to have some kind of skin in the game and be responsible for the usage. But if they're staying short term, usually you just have to charge a high enough rate to where it sort of offsets the costs of your electric and your water, sewer bills. And I think that pretty much rounds it out to give us, the kind of, as quick as I could, go through the MHC and RVC high level income and expenses. So.
Yeah, totally. No, really appreciate that. I mean, guys, this is where the money is made, is really having an extremely strong understanding of your income and your expenses, your net operating income. That's how we determine the value of these, when we're going to sell. And that's also how we create cash flow so that these deals are generating cash flow for our investors. So it's definitely the nuts and bolts, it's extremely important. So thanks so much, Dylan, for taking time to go over the difference. And, mobile home parks are an alternative asset class. RV parks are also an alternative asset class. RV parks are, as we talked about, it's a less developed industry, still 97% owned by mom and pops, as you said on our previous podcast. And mm-hmm. So it's an exciting space to understand, and using the mobile home parks as a benchmark is a great way to try to understand the nuts and bolts. So thanks so much, Dylan, for coming on the show. Please share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share.
Yeah, you can find us at therequitygroup.com. I'm sure it'll be in the show notes, as well as you can plug in with me on LinkedIn. That's the main social media platform I'm active on. And we also have a podcast called Operators and Allocators, where we interview sweat equity operators and savvy capital allocators in the real estate private equity world.
Awesome. Well, please check out Dylan's company and his new podcast. Really great talking to you, Dylan. We'll see you next time.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.